Today we're going to be focusing in not going a lot depth into the sixth, except the very first part. We're going to start where we left off in Ephesians 5. And before we get started in that, I just wanted to say as we do this is that today we're going to be talking about this whole thing of submitting and resisting. Right? We are people that are called into this new nature that Jesus talks about. Is to be people who are doing these things both at the same time. Submitting to greater and greater degrees, understanding what that means in the right way, to authority, and also resisting the right thing. That's what we're going to be discussing. Now, in review, as we talked about before, is I used to close off with this picture of my cute son, grandson, Klein. My grandpa can do it twice, and does it. So, basically, as you start with that first picture to your left, you see, Klein was loved deeply. He didn't do much, right? He did nothing, he just sat around, just cared for him. He was loved equally in all three of these pictures. When we're new in Christ, we are really literally at a spot like Klein was. We come into this, we're a new person, and inside of Klein, there's all these things that had to be developed out. Right? There's no difference in the love from any part of these pictures, but the difference is by Klein correctly submitting to and following examples in the areas that he was able to keep developing out, right? Now, spiritually, we're in the same spot. When we come to Christ, it's not that we've now been able to have resistance against sin, and that's the gospel. The gospel is we've been made a new person, and now we can live out of this new identity. But it also is an identity that we can stay infants, and God said, Paul Jesus said, I don't want you to stay empty. I want you to keep growing. I want you to go deeper in your roots. I want you to develop. I want you to experience all these things. And so in the first three chapters of Ephesians, it's just over the top saying, this is who you are. This is what's happened. Here's the veil of Jesus. It's just showing you what your life would be. And then you start in 4 and it begins talking about now live out the calling. To be worthy, walk out the calling that you have on your life. Live out this new nature. Put off the old nature and live in the new nature. And so today, a big part of us developing in Christ is this place of understanding authority and rightly submitting to that. Alright? Now, before we get into the text, authority is something that is not talked about enough in American Christianity, I don't think. Because we know everybody in America is so rebellious against authority. We don't want to bring it up. The authority idea is good to be under authority. It's just not very popular among every human. But especially Americans who actually often come to cry in resisting and rebelling against authority. And so as we talk about that, but it's really important because when Paul talked to the Romans, he said, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. When you go into finish up in Romans 13 for us, he's talking about all authority. And there's a right way of submitting to authority, and if we don't understand what authority is, and we don't know how to rightly submit, we'll find ourselves constantly in places of resisting things that God is wanting to have us submit to. Okay? And so as we go through this, understand that this will be a little bit of a ride, a little bit of a challenge, and I'll try to be as nice as I can. Alright? Alright, so here we go. The thing about authority, I'll just start with this, is it really is submission to authority. We have lots of images of what that means. Like you have to agree with it, you conform to it, you just do it. Really, authority is something that you're choosing to yield to another's perspective. It doesn't mean you can agree with that. It's a place where you yield yourself to submit, right? And to add an admission or advice. And so as we look at that, keep that in mind as we go through in the broader picture, because we're going to hit some specific areas of authority. And so as we start out with Ephesians 5, starting with verse 21, it starts with this starting verse. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it starts with this place of saying, now what I want you to do is, you are a body, now what you need to do is submit to one another. So, look around if you want to. You're supposed to be submitting to one another. Right? You're supposed to be submitting to all other Christians. And I think it means exactly that we're to be in mutual submission. It's a place of an attitude of where that you begin, and it's a place where we subject ourselves to one another. We actually humble ourselves to one another and allow their authority to affect us in many different areas. And so, think of the human body, because again, we're the body of Christ, right? How does the human body operate? It operates in a place where it has all the parts who are submitted to one another. So I have my eyes, I have my ears, I have my feet, and they're all, I can go on many other ones, we'll use those three. So I'm getting ready to pass, go across the street with lots of busy traffic. What's happening there? My eyes say, my feet, go. You know, my feet, go. And my feet, and then my eyes see something, my feet go out and stop. And then I hear sirens, and my feet step back. What you're seeing is all these parts for them to operate. It's not just top-down, it's mutual submission to one another in the right areas, right? And that's really what it is with us, is we need one another, because we're called to be a part of each other. But to do that, we have to have a heart that has mutual submission, that we are looking for that. And that's why the Bible talks about it so much. Now, there's also places of position, like right now, I have authority. Now, you can... You have to, like, you know, you're probably not going to start jumping up and dancing or running around. You may talk to each other, look at you bad, and stop talking. But I have authority, right? Quick text, you know. I have authority. You can leave the room and come out. There's authority happening all the time right now. You understand? There's all kinds of authorities that you're under right now. And how you respond to those is a really key question. Now, like, since I'm the lead pastor, I have a position of right? But does that mean that you submit to me or I submit to you? Both, right? Now, because if I'm leading as God would want to lead, the very thing I've done to model is mutual submission. I would want to. So for many of you, I can look out there and say, I remember when God spoke to me and I felt authority when I was talking to you in the hallway and I changed my whole view of something or someone prayed for me, right? Sometimes it's very much from a leader. Like I remember when I was in Mark Peterson was my pastor at church, and we were taking our first married, and we were in a really tough situation. And he sat down with Mark and I said, I am at my wit's end. You're my authority. What do I do? And what he said was terrible. But I knew he loved me, and I went and did it anyway. It's the best decision of my life. I mean, it really was. But I didn't feel, I learned how to submit rightly to that authority, right? I didn't just take it in. I just knew that's what God wanted me to do. So I allowed other people's authority. But I also can say, Robbie Geary, you know, back when he was just a kid, a punk kid. Now he's this young man. But before he's just a punk kid, I was at a retreat with him. And in his exercise, he prayed over me. And he prophesied over me in a significant way. This day, I've submitted to that thing that he spoke, right? So it really is, when we get to the submission, we have these odd views of it. It's an issue of your heart, okay? Understand that as we talk about this thing of submission, it's really tied to the issue of your heart. How many of you guys had parents that really gave you lots of chores? Do you have any? And so you think, well, you probably didn't, but you thought it was a bunch of. But the reality, for me, I would wake up on a Saturday morning, my mom would write out the list. And I would get them all done as fast as I could, and I'd come back and she'd add more to it. I got the list done, but she didn't understand me. She was a terrible leader, and not a smart mom in how she motivated me, and they were unreasonable chores, and I still did them. So did I submit to my mom? Well, my heart was not there. I didn't honor my mom. I didn't do it with joy. I didn't give myself over to it. The entire time I was doing these things, I was resisting inside. I was burning and angry and exhausted by his time. Right? Because I didn't submit to that authority. You understand? Authority is not so much if you check off the box, it's the point of do you have a heart that's able to receive from other people who God's put in position of authority over you. So he starts out wide and begins going to this issue of authority, and then he starts narrowing things down, right? And he narrows it down and he gets real specific. Wives, this means submit to your husband as the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of His body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now, Debbie and I, we've been married 38 years, and we actually had this taught at our wedding. And my wife was the assistant manager of a bank, and the manager of the bank, that she was part of, came with a lot of her friends, had no Christian context whatsoever. And we had friends that were sitting around them. And when we got to this point in the teaching, they literally gasped. And then they began laughing, and they talked throughout the entire ceremony about how insane this thing was, right? And I would guess culturally it hasn't changed much. I'm guessing there's some secret gasping going on right now. So I understand that. But I absolutely believe this is true. I believe it's often misunderstood and twisted and used in ways that's not correct. But I do believe that God has put me in this crazy position of being the head of my family. I've asked him why a few times, but I do believe that. And what I can say is this, it's really clear that you'll see this all the way through, is this is talking to believers and understanding that what you'll see all the way through is God is your authority and no one else. Ultimately, He's your authority. It always has to happen above all else, right? And under that submission, then these others start making sense. Without that, it becomes tremendously distorted understanding of what we're talking about. And so as we look at that, we begin understanding that this is the position. And Debbie, she has never gotten mixed up with Jesus, ever. She's never got confused on that part, you know, like, oh, you're not the Lord, no. And what I'd say about this is that her submission to me is not because she's afraid of me, or she is trying to, appease me, or impress me, or do her duty. Her submission is only because she cares about Jesus. And she does it in reference to Him. You see, this all the way through when we talk about submission, it's tied to you're doing it, even if the authority that you're under is quite imperfect, you're choosing to yield yourself. And you're not saying, I agree with everything. You're choosing to yield yourself and have a soft heart, in reverence to God. And so, as we go through that, a couple things I'd say about this is it does not mean that husbands and wives are not mutually submitted to one another. I mean, quite honestly, that's the way he starts with that verse. Debbie and I's relationship is mutual submission. I'm still the head, all right? The role that God always has the place of a head, but the idea is to release any authority is to release better authority. And so what I say on this is there's no person on the planet, but honestly, that has more authority spiritually and every other way in my life than Debbie. Right? And so I say that first. I'd say the other thing is it does not mean the husband is given the position, this will surprise you, because they earned it. by being wiser or smarter or of higher character. Sorry, guys. You got it because God said you're it. Right? And but here's what this does. It gets you to the spot in which that you begin understanding as in that position that you begin turning to God. We'll talk a little bit further on that. And so the thing about it is, I understand the complexity of this. I understand the gasping in this initially. In real ways, because quite honestly, men just have authority and they use their authority to oppress women from all through history. It's a horrendous, horrendous record, guys. So if you have someone who's struggling with it, you think, I get it, right? But it doesn't take away that it's designed the way God's talked about this. It's not that. It's to release and to free and bring life in that family. So, hang in there if you're gasping, alright? Now, I'd say this is that, then it goes on, but there is the guy's part. And quite honestly, this is, we have to get serious here. This gasping causes you to gasping. well, if you're a guy. Here's what it says. For husband, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies, for a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. So when you really take that in, that is a pretty, those two things we just said, for wives and for husbands, it's like over the top. What you'll find, by the way, when you really take these in, there's nothing that you can do except go, oh God, help me. And continue the dependency as a husband on your authority, which is God. And it takes your wife to depend, your wife to receive the authority of God. It's automatically designed that way. But the understanding was, if you can get a hold of God, your authority, this can bring beauty. And so when you look at this kind of spot where it talks about this place of the transformation of the church, paralleling it to your wife, and becoming fully inherent as a beautiful bride, the bride of Christ. There's lots of different theological interpretations, but let's go to the broader concept. The interaction that you have with your wife should release her into her full beauty and full authority. That's what your role is. Is to allow her to be who God has made her to be. To be a place that you release her and you help her and encourage her in that process. Alright? So, as we go through that, think about that. Where you're at in that spot. Begin, if you're married, if you're just processing what marriage is, then begin letting God speak to you in this area. Now, it continues on and kind of gives us a nice summary system. As the scripture says, a man should leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So I say again, each man should love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That simple verse has been repeated in my brain so many times. And because what I know as a leader, if I love my wife as Christ loved the church, to that degree, it clears the way for her to be able to respect me. And the more she respects me, the more I want to love her as Christ loved the church. This is cycle. Alright? That's my marriage seminar. Alright. The next is this. It moves on and it talks about kids. Any kids here? No, don't raise your hand. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, what I say in this is that we need to help our kids understand how to submit and honor imperfect authority, which is you as a parent, right? If you as a parent haven't already had this conversation with kids where they say, who made you boss anyway? Right? You can start at 2, they continue on to their 30. But the reality is, see, it's that feeling of like, by where do you get your authority to tell me do that? Get out now. Go here. And you know, I remember I was in one of these kind of conversations with one of my girls early on, and I remember thinking, I can't say it, but I know. I'd say, who made you boss? And I'd say, God did. You know, that wouldn't go over very well, so I didn't bring it out. But God did it. And you probably have caught on when you're a mom or a dad. He didn't do that based on your merit or how many children you raised in the past. And how well you've done, how you're doing now. He did it because he just chose to put you in authority. You've got to decide how to use that authority. I noticed he picked some of the guys a little bit here. His dad's had a tendency of not using that authority well. They have a tendency of exaggerating their children. I'm there. I've been there, right? And he says, watch out. Don't do that. Don't use your authority that way. And so, understanding this, it's really important that we understand as parents that we help our children begin understanding right submission to authority, not for control, but for the place to do well. It's the commandment that has the promise. It's the only one because of that. So it's a big deal. The thing I say this too is that even when we get older, even though our role changes, we're not under the authority the way we were when we were children, it doesn't change that we always are called to honor our father and mother. It's very clear biblically all the way through our life. And I find that's often a challenge for some of us. Because when we get older, we kind of find out, well, we may have a few issues, and I'm playing out in my own marriage, and my own life, son of a gun, they screwed me up pretty bad. Right? You start getting a hold of some of those things, and when you start realizing, well, it was a little more imperfect than I thought, or maybe it's very obvious. That does not allow you to not rightly honor your father and mother. It's not allowed. As much as it's culturally normal, it's not allowed. And I remember I was at this retreat at Reverb, and in the middle of that, they had a teaching. 400 kids, most of which were partially kicked with their parents, sitting out there. And she gets up, and the subject is honoring your father and mother. And I thought, oh, this will go over really well. And Leah, this gal, did such an amazing job with this. She talked about her childhood and how she was raised by pretty much a single mom, or that's all she had. And I'm telling you, it was devastating, the choices her mom made and how it affected her. It was just devastating. And then she just kept, finally she's away from home, she's disconnected, and her mom is so broken, and it just goes on, and it gets worse and worse. When she becomes a Christian, she tries to be nicer, but she's still just so resistant to her mom. Because she's hurt her so many ways. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just, you know, and it can be just imperfection, it can be major abuse. And so she was at the stage, and eventually her mom got sick, and she didn't visit her, and then all of a sudden she died. So Leah, because she's a pastor, she asked to say a few words to honor her mom. She's up front, thinking, I know what the scripture says, but what do I do? Someone just caused such pain in my life. She began understanding and honoring in a different way. So during the retreat, she flashes a picture of her mom up on screen. And she turns to the screen. And she tells her mom every beautiful thing she could think of about every moment that was good. Honor her. In front of everybody. And by then the kids were like, glued. And she said a simple thing. Don't wait. There's freedom in right submission. There's freedom in honor. It doesn't feel like it's that way, but your resisting is not protecting you. Your walls, your attitude is not protecting you. He understands. He wasn't endorsing what her mom did. He wasn't, but she was releasing her mom and honoring her mom. And we have that towards our moms and our fathers. So it doesn't just stop with the kids. It goes on to when we're adults as well. And he goes on to this next section. And he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. This is getting wild, isn't it? Alright. With deep respect and fear, serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please him all the time, not just when they're watching. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember, the Lord rewards each of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free, masters treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and there are no favors. And when you look at this, you know, in Rome at this time, the first century Rome, there's statistics of 1/3 to 1/2 of every person was a slave. And the reason why there is conquesting, I mean, Romans just took over groups, and people would surrender themselves to servitude for support. And so sometimes it lasted 7 years, sometimes they were released at 30, sometimes they were quit abused. It's a whole mixture of things. It wasn't just manual labor, it's like educated people helping tutor students. It was just a whole thing that they were still slaves. Right? So if you look at this, he's talking now to this culture that just there's a lot of people now within Ephesus, now they've become Christians. The masters become Christians and the slaves become Christians. And what people will look at this and they will point at Paul and say, what's the deal here? I mean, Paul of all people who says everybody's equal, even in the same text, there's no favorites. Why, how can you possibly not condemn an unjust institution like slavery? And I can't tell you the answer except that it's what I see is a consistency in how authority is approached in biblical terms. You think about this. This isn't like he's clueless on unjust punishment or unjust situation. He's writing from a Roman prison, which he's a citizen, has been falsely accused and is in chains. You know? And you look at even throughout history, what you see the people of God's kingdom approaching authority in the most crazy ways, in a place of still living out their identity in the middle of injustice and beginning from the spot. So what Paul is doing here, he starts with the hearts of the two people, saying, you need to start submitting to your master above. Now the result was, we see over time, but the reality of it is in that spot, this is what we have to think. The way that the scripture talks about authority just radicalizes. Because it talks about God will work within authority. So if you think even in Jesus Christ himself, he basically submitted himself to wrong, unjust authority of the Jewish people and the Roman people and died for it. But it seemed to have great power. It seemed to break things open for the king. Right? And so many times God will have you in situations that are unjust, but you're still under that authority. And then how do you operate in that? How do you find freedom in places of justice and people have authority over you? And we want everything in us wants us to rebel and resist. And God says, no, you submit to me and you live out what I ask you to do. And that may be calling people out, maybe all kinds of things, but you start at that point. Now looking at that is, you know, we are at a spot where what it shows us is seems like even if you take it into just our normal working conditions, you know, where you have are working in a system for a boss or a manager that's not exactly nice. Or maybe even is unjust in lots of ways. And yet, you're there. Now you could leave, that's right. But until you leave, unless God tells you you should stay, he may have you stay. And here's the wild thing, is I believe these instructions would be the same to us who are in those places. I mean, I would say that when you're in a spot, how do you handle that? When you're in a job in which you have a boss who doesn't see you, who doesn't get you, who doesn't really look out for your best interest, right? It's harsh. Who threatens you, right? Well, you know, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, though you're working for the Lord rather than people. Look at what you'll notice, and especially in this one, because it's so clear that there's injustice in the system, how he emphasizes this. He says, serve sincerely as if you were serving Christ. Right? Do it with all your heart, with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Right? The understanding is, for you to be able to do this, there's no way you would do it. It'll only be when your audience is God. And you sense his pleasure as you serve someone who is very flawed and even possibly unjust. But God works in us learning how to submit. As radical as that sounds. So how are you doing in your work? The people who have authority over you. Pay attention to what's happening. Because what we find ourselves doing is you're kind of spot where you've been in this place, a horrible spot, and all you do is resist internally. And you're exhausted, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And what God's saying is, that is not how you fight this thing. The way you fight this thing is you rightly submit to God first. He becomes your audience, and He defends you. But you still submit to that authority. And he goes on. Continue on before you do that. It's like what you'll see in all these situations is you'll see that God, He pays attention to the relationships around you. And in relationships, there's this place of authority. There's a place that you have authority. And the question becomes, what you see that consistently is when you're in these positions of authority, there's this theme. There's something within us that is so much wanting to rebel against it. Right? It's just so natural. It becomes it's not hard to rebel in a sense. That becomes very easy. The question is, how do you honor and how do you respect this authority, whether it's your spouse or a parent or someone you work for, someone within the church? You know, I found that people who are thriving spiritually, they've just got this thing about they know their identity and they know how to submit to authority. The people who are the most right to submit to this authority are the most free. We don't believe that. That's true. So people who can really grasp this and begin spending God first, they have the most freedom. But I found, for me anyway, it's like this question of, if I have authority, how do I use it? That's the big question that we're addressing here. And if I'm under authority, how do I honor it and submit to it? And that's the challenge. You know, I used to always say, man, I'm okay with submitting to this. He's perfect. But please don't make me submit to these humans and these institutions. Right? Why would you do that? And I'm just telling you, you can't without God above it all. You won't be able to. But there's something in submitting to authority that gives you freedom. It's hard to put into words. It's a mystery. But it does work. You know, I have found that I'm so easy to find myself resisting authority, it just comes so naturally. You know, I've been in a place where some people think, oh, you don't understand, Dave. You've not been in the real world. No, I've had 8 different sector bosses I've been under. You know, I've had 4 different pastors before I was on staff, and I've been in depth of leadership, right? And what I've learned is those people have to deal with. I had to deal with 4 imperfect pastors who had authority over them. Now, thank goodness you guys don't have a problem here. But it does happen in other places. And what I understand is when people come to me and say, David, I'm killing you, man. You're just mad at me. I get it. I mean, I've been there. Because, you know, there's such imperfect, and it is hard. And so, sure, all I'm saying is, that all my imperfections will not keep me from the kingdom of God. And submission is not agreeing with these things. It's not saying I deserve it. It's saying, no, God, I will submit rightly to this, but it's because I'm doing it in reverence to God, not to him, or not to this person, or not to this spouse, or whatever. So I'm just saying that is you know, I've had, of these 4 pastors I've been under, let me just get honest here. Not that I haven't been honest all along. I have been honest. But a little more honest in some areas. All 4 pastors, I had a season in which everything inside me was shouting, they are ruining my life. They are causing me so much pain. I must pull myself away from them. I must not honor them and disrespect them. I must separate myself. I mean, it was like super powerful. And by God's grace, I didn't. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad I did. But I'm telling you, I know how hard it is to submit to imperfect authority. But God uses it in these amazing ways to give a soft heart. So how are you doing in these relationships? I want to close with just the first part of verse 6. And using chapter 6, using chapter 6, it's totally separated from this chapter, right? From they start right at verse 10. But the first part of chapter 6 is often overlooked, and the last part of 5. But it's all a continuum, right? There was God just put the letter, the number 6 in the chapter, right? This was one letter. And I believe that it could stand on its own, Ephesians 6:10 on. But I'm telling you, it really is connected to what it just talked about. And what it says is this, one final word, coming right off discussion, but all this discussion about submitting to authority, it says, one final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you may be able to stand against the strategy of the devil. For you are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities and unseen of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know what I'm saying? I know there's relational issues that have to be worked out, communication, and there's issues of forgiveness and all this sort of things. But what you have to understand is when you're resisting people, you're resisting the wrong thing. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. Right? Behind that, there's another power that's trying to take you away from God. If you watch over and over again, people who pull away from God are always being pulled away from people and authority structures. Because they think this is what's causing the problem. And the imperfections of authority are hard and difficult, but they're not the source of the problem. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so what we have as humans, we are resisted, right? What God's saying is, resist the right things. Quit resisting humans. Start loving the humans that I love deeply. Quit thinking they're the problem and begin resisting the enemy. Right? And in James it says, God opposes the proud but gives favor to the humble. Isn't that what happens when you begin having structure? Resistance towards humans, you start becoming proud. Stay humble. Submit yourself then to God. And that has to be above everything else. You can't do this without being submitted to God. Resist the devil, you will flee from. And so, my prayer today is that you will begin understanding that your struggle is not against humans. Humans is God's imperfect people who loves people. And even authority structures are not your enemy. It's how God shows you how to submit to those things. And what we see in Scripture is freedom in the kingdom is under all kinds of circumstances. Good bosses, bad bosses, hard marriages, good marriages, tough things with kids. The kingdom is not stopped by the enemy. It's stopped by the enemy. Right? And that's who we have to resist. So let me just give you, the worship team can come up. Here's your challenge for the week. This week, just be asking God to show you how you can honor Him and the way you use your authority. So many of you are in places of authority, in leadership possibly, in maybe you manage a company, maybe you have people that you oversee, you have your children, whatever the place of authority that you're in, wherever that is, your husband, how do you use that authority? And then, how do you submit to the other authority of your others? All those authorities are, how do you do well in that? How do you submit in a way of keeping your heart soft and allowing God to use all the authorities for what He wants in your life? You stand up.